This will be Judgment in the House, Part 9, but I'm just trying to explain some things and bring this around to where maybe you can see it. If I draw it on the board, maybe you can see it, maybe it'll stir up something in your mind. Let me get my specs. If I don't have my glasses, who knows what I'll be drawing. But you know, we've been talking about judgment in the house and talking about Abraham and how Abraham was brought out of the land of the Chaldeans and brought into the land. A land of promise, a land of a promise given to the seed and all of these things. And you know how he built that altar and how he didn't build the altar until the Lord appeared. When the Lord appeared, he built that altar. Let me give you a scripture here, and I'm gonna come back to this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, is King James, but it's really that word by is in, in his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, if you remember, of course, I had it up here. And see, it's hard for me to get, because there's so many things you want to explain. You only have so much time to do it. So when I'm thinking worlds, I'm thinking, well, let's stop right there and let's explain, because I don't know about you guys, but I was raised up, guys. We didn't know nothing about the tabernacle. Only scripture we ever knew about the tabernacle was Jesus, this he said, speaking of his body. Otherwise, the studying about the priesthood, the tabernacles, we never did. I know one guy used to point it to scripture and says, this is the old covenant. We're in the new covenant. You know, in other words, don't worry about the back half of the book. Throw it out. But I just want to tell you that every word is given by inspiration of God, and they're all needed, and they're all there for a testimony of Jesus Christ. To point us right there, and it's so much. I mean, if you can begin to understand where you are, you know, like we were talking last night, you know, we talked about this a little bit Wednesday. Some people think in their walk with God, they're getting farther away. But they're not. He's brought them into himself. And then when he's brought them into the holiest of all, and in the holiest of all, there's no light there. You can't bring any natural light there. So you're in utter darkness. And you think, man, I'm trying to get closer to the Lord. I'm in the darkness more and more. But really, you're not. Just, you're not allowed to bring any of your light in here. In here, it's by revelation. And, you know, the holiest of all is the ark. That's where the ark is. And what's he say? When you see the ark. So in here, it's by revelation. It's not by your natural knowledge. And you know what happens, guys? What happens is when we go into a dark room, the first thing we want to do is turn a light on. Bring some light to the subject. But in this room, in the holiest of all, there ain't no light switch. You can't turn this light on. He must appear. And we'll do everything we can to get light in that room, and it's not permitted in that room. So we'll think the Lord is farther away, and really, he's brought us unto himself. And understanding scriptures and in this light, it will help you in your patience. And you know, that's what we talk about. Patience, guys, is not wait till a situation is over. Patience is always concluded in this, the appearing of the Lord. But I want to show you something, guys, just for your consideration, because we're talking about judgment. And you know, I got these little pictures here. Let me give you a couple scriptures here. I don't know what I did with all my scriptures I had wrote down. Oh, right there they are. Remember that little phrase, last days. Okay? God hath in these last days. Now remember, this book is Hebrews. So this book was written about 2,000 years ago. And in 2,000 years ago, whoever wrote this, I believe it was Apostle Paul, said, God in these last days. So the last days he's speaking of here was 2,000 years ago. The church world is always trying to point you in the last days. Well, Paul was already right there writing about God hath in these last days spoken. God has already spoken in the last days about his son. All right. Now you say, what does this have to do with? You remember children of Israel, they're in bondage in Egypt. Moses brings them up out. They wander in the wilderness 40 years. That whole generation dies. Joshua brings them into the land. They come into the land. There's inhabitants in the land. They don't run out all the inhabitants of the land. And in Judges, I'm just going to give you some scriptures here in Judges. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, just a little portion of it. Judges 1 and 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Judges 1 and 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kidron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out. Can you see where I'm going here? These guys are in the land. He told Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot, I've given it to you. And what's these people do? They're not driving them out. And you know what? They didn't even have to go to battle. All they had to do was walk it out. And the Lord would send hornets and everything else before them to drive out the people. He said, I've already given it to you, and you just got to walk it out. But they ain't going to walk it out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. And in Judges chapter 2 and verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? I mean, we're talking judgment here. Don't make any league with the inhabitants of the land. Guys, what I'm talking about is your soul and the inhabitants of your soul. Okay? And Christ comes into your soul. And you know what? When Christ comes into your soul, he doesn't make a league with any of the inhabitants that are in your soul. He doesn't come in and say, oh, me and bitterness can get along. It's got to go. I mean, he doesn't come in and say, well, sadness. Yeah, me and sadness can get along. I'll take this part. Sadness, you can have. What about resentment? He doesn't come in and say, you know what, Derek, you got resentment. It's okay. I'm going to live in your soul. Me and resentment will get along. He ain't making a league with anything in your soul, which Christ all and in all. You see? Not going to make league. But you know, we've seen that in the natural, these tribes, They wouldn't drive them out. And in verse 16 he says, "Nevertheless the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them." You know, it's the same way today, guys. He raises up judges. And when I say he raises up judges, I'm saying somebody that's not going to make a league with the inhabitants of the land, somebody that's going to do nothing but preach Jesus. Never going to sit up here and preach about you. Never going to say, get up here and tell you all these things about yourself, because this is not centered in yourself. It's all about Him. It's all about the Lord. So God raises up judges in the lands. Why? To deliver them that spoil them. Because you know what, guys? Bitterness will spoil you. Resentment will spoil you. Self-righteousness will spoil you. All these inhabitants that are all these ites that live in our land will spoil you, will rob you. And you know what, guys? How many people do you know is robbed of their joy? I mean, really. I could say this, I know very few people who live in the joy of their salvation. I mean, there's joy in salvation. There's liberty. Ye shall know the truth. The truth of what? Make you free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I'm talking freedom. I'm talking liberty. I'm talking joy of salvation. How many walk in that? Now, the Scriptures is telling us why. Because there's other inhabitants in the land that spoil you and rob you of everything. You know, guys, I think about Paul. Now, here's Paul. Now, I would just have to ask you, do you believe Paul walked in the joy of his salvation? I mean, well, let me ask you about Deacon Stephen. Do you think Deacon Stephen walked in the joy of his salvation? So much so that when they were stoning him, what did Deacon Stephen cry out? Oh, God, get them back. I'm preaching the gospel. They're hitting me in the head with rocks. God, have vengeance on them. What did Deacon Stephen cry out? And only he could cry out this, because why? He saw heaven open and he saw the Lord standing there. And then what did he say? God, lay not this sin at their charge. I believe he was walking in some joy of his salvation. Now see, the situation didn't change, Derek. He still got stoned to death. But he died in joy. Think about that. He died in joy. Not in bitterness, not in sorrow, not in woe is me and all this other crazy stuff. He died in joy. A judgment had taken place. A judgment that had taken place, and those ites had been conquered, run out of the land. Now, I'm going to show you something here, guys. I'm going to go back over, because I got my board over here now. Now, you know, here is this scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, I'm going to set you up. Do you believe these scriptures testify of Jesus? I mean, I just read the scripture to you, and I could go on the volume of the book. He says, it's what? It's written to me. But now it says in these last days. Now, how am I going to get these last days somehow that testify of Jesus? Well, let me just show you something here, guys. Let me get my trusty pen out. There is something that takes place, guys, in this world that has got everybody by the throat. Okay, that's this one little four-letter word here. And it is called time. All right? Everybody's whole life is governed by time, isn't it? It's Christmas time, springtime, summertime. It's whatever. Everything is governed by time. And we're all controlled and manipulated by this thing called time. Right? Now, everybody in the church world is worried because somebody's talking last days and they're reading the Bible looking for what? Time, events, all these other things. Well, God at one time spoke in diverse manners by the prophets and to the fathers, but now He's spoken in last days in Son. But we got to deal with this little thing here called time. How are we going to deal with this thing called time? What are we going to do with time? Now, just remember here, what I'm talking about is scriptures. And in scriptures, we read that all the scriptures testify of Him. You remember last week when I had the branch? And I said, this tree branch right here, you think it's real, but the only purpose for that tree branch was to do what? Testify of the Lord, who is the tree. And I had the rock, and I said, Yeah, you think the rock is real, but the rock's only purpose was to testify of the rock, which is Christ. You remember I had the bread, and you know, I said, man, this is the bread. And Jesus said, they ate that bread, and they all died in the wilderness, but I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. So we see that bread even was a testimony. Do you think time is not a testimony? Now, I just want you to think with me here, guys. Let's stay in context. So God used all the things that He created as a testimony, and then even time, would that not be? Because inside of time, what do we got? Let's just take a year. Because time just revolves, doesn't it? We got winter time, we got spring time. We got summertime, we got fall, and then what do? We go right back into wintertime and springtime and summertime and fall, and then what? We go right back. It's a circle, isn't it? So it just keeps right on going and going and going. But inside of this time, we have... Let me just draw a line like this. And let's just say this is time. And remember, all of this is as a testimony of the Lord. So here we have, inside of this time, we have a year. Now, what do you think this year, just like in our day, in our year, what are we looking for? The end of the year. We're looking for the end of the year, right? And then we have a great celebration where here just in a couple of weeks, there's going to be 1 million people at Rockefeller Center watching a great big ball drop, and they're going to light fireworks, and everybody's going to stay up to midnight to do what? Celebrate another new year. And everybody thinks in the new year that everything's going to be better, don't they? And everybody's happy and got on their hats and blowing their poppers and lighting it off, and they make resolutions. This year I'm not going to eat as many Reese cups. This year I'm going to exercise more. This year I'm going to stay in my budget. This year I'm going to save money. This year I'm going to do better. I'm going to be a better husband, a better wife. I'm going to be better. And what happens on my January 3rd? Because you're right back into this same cycle here. But now God has given us a year here. Now what's the purpose of this year? And see, this is what, as long as I'm the focus of it, I'm just going to keep going through this cycle. And there's no way out of this cycle. Except you die. Right? I mean, These things are going to keep going on until when? Until you die. And then when you die, right? But we got to deal with this little thing up here called last days. Now, if you was to ask anybody, according to a calendar, when's the last days, they would say now. Why? Because today's what, the 18th? They would say, we only got 13 days left, and I can just go ahead and predict to you that it's going to be the end of days. 2016 is going to be over. Last days, right? So at some point in time, I gotta get to this thing right here. Well, God, remember, all the scriptures are testifying of what? So all of this time, everything has got to do what? It's got to testify of me, he says, right? I mean, that's scripture. Volume of the books written of him. So all the branches, the trees, the rivers, the clouds, everything is going to testify of him, including this, right? I mean, at one time he even said that what? The heavens declare the glory of God. You guys ever get on Facebook and see somebody puts on a picture of a sunset and they make a little comment, look at God's handiwork? I mean, you guys ever see those? I mean, I see them all the time. They put the moon on there. They put all these pretty pictures, and they say, look at God. Hey, the heavens themselves. So in the old scriptures, those prophets would go out, and when they would look at the stars, you can go read them. You can go read in Job when he talks about Orion's belt and all of them. They knew, they all testified of the Lord. Even the Magi, when they came, did what? Followed a star. Because why? The star testified of Jesus. God spoke in what? Time past. He spoke in time. In other words, he testified in time past in diverse manners. What are the diverse manners? In trees and rocks and bread and water and rivers and clouds and birds and donkeys and... You see what I'm saying? But now God hath done what? Spoken in Son. But in this time I got years. What's inside of a year? A month. What's inside of a month? Days. What's inside of a day? Hours. And I'm going to say, that'll bring us down to this. A moment. Because all of that's going to come right down to this, isn't it? It's all going to bring you, all this time up here is going to testify, and it's going to bring you to one moment. Because can you see how this goes? Year, month, and we get smaller and smaller and smaller. That's going to bring us down to this one moment. Look at Genesis chapter 7. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life. In the 600th year of Noah's life. Nope. Now you guys know who Noah was. Noah was what? A testimony of Christ. Right? So now I've already got some years out here. So I got Noah and we're talking years. In the 600th year of Noah's life. You guys know Noah was a type and shadow of Christ. Now look at Genesis 17 and verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. So look, this moment, it looks like it's going to bring me down to what? A set time. But that's going to happen when? In the next year. So see, I've got another year right there. And look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, do you know what happened right here, guys? I just want to tell you something. They were going by their calendar. But in Exodus right here, they're getting ready to kill the lamb. They're getting ready to get out of Egypt. And you know what God says? He says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. In other words, you guys know we celebrate Easter as a type and shadow of Passover, which happens in April, somewhere thereabouts. God says this is when your year begins. Now see, our year, according to the calendar, begins in January. And their Hebrew year had been going on and going on, but God says, you know what? I'm changing the calendar around. I'm changing the calendar around, and now this is going to be the first month. So when you look at the Jewish calendar, Passover's the first month. Whatever Passover is, whether it's April or March or whatever it is. He changed the calendar around. Why could God do that? Because it testifies of Him. God changed their whole calendar. He changed Israel's whole calendar around right here. And says, this is going to be the first month of the year to you. So the first month of the year is going to begin with what to them? Their whole new life is going to begin with what? Passover. That's when their beginning is going to begin, right? At Passover. What took place at Passover, guys? Was not Jesus killed on the Passover? Was there not a cross that took place right there? So see, their time didn't even begin until when? So the beginning, you see, guys, their beginning didn't even start until the cross. Do you see what I mean? So you can be wrapped up in this time thing all day long, and it'll just keep right on going, but you haven't even begun yet until you come to this cross. Because it's all a type of shadow, a testimony that's going to bring you down through here. But see, now I'm just giving you the years. God spread this thing out over 6,000 years, giving this testimony. And you could search these things out, guys, but there is a lot of testimony of a year in the scriptures. But now I'm going to bring this thing down here to the month. And I'm going to go right back to Genesis here. Because remember Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, we just read it a minute ago. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the windows of heaven were opened. I wonder what he's talking about. See, back then it was the second month, but what happened? All the fountains of the deep were opened up, the heavens were opened up. What was that a type and shadow of? It's a type and shadow of the judgment of what? The cross. You see, and each time God has given them some more details. He's telling them all these things that's going to take place. Let me give you another one in Genesis 8:4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. I mean, there's so much right there that I could go into. But now I've got another month, right? So each time God has given us a testimony of rest in all of this thing. He's given us a testimony. And let me read verse 5. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month of the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. So see, I've got time, and in this time I've got tops of the mountains being seen. I got rest. I got all these things. Which, what are they going to do? They're going to testify of Him. So I've got years. I've got months inside of those. You know, we could. I don't even know how many I put up here, but I could put up 12. For the each one, and each one of those times and months, you know, first month, second month, seventh month, all these other things. And what are they doing? They're all testifying of Him. They're all testifying of Him. And then back over here to Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. We just read that. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Same thing. What are we talking about? We got this set time. We got all this time. We got months. We got a year. We got months. All doing what? Testifying of the Lord. Testifying of the Lord. And inside of those months right there, we got days, plural days, 360 days in a Jewish calendar, 365 in our calendar. We got days. Now, this whole thing down here, all of this right here goes back to this scripture right here, Genesis 2 and 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For the day that thou eatest thereof, what? Thou shalt surely die. So did they eat of that tree?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. So what does this become? Thou shalt surely die. So what did that do with the whole year, with the month, with the day, with the moment? What did that bring this whole thing into? Brought it into a state of death, didn't it? So everything from that moment on was what? Death. Everything. Death. I mean, remember, all of this is part of the first. Remember the first? He takes away the first that He might establish the second. So everything, and you know what, guys? We are born in this. Everyone who's born of a woman is born into this. Thou shalt surely die, born into this death. And what is this death? Separated from God. The separation. Everybody is in this condition. Now, time has did what? Separated us from what? Separated us from the life of God. What do you mean separated from the life of God? He said, when you eat of this tree, I'm going to do what? I'm going to put a cherubim up there. I'm casting you out. Flaming sword. So you are separated. Here's a flaming sword, you know, fire. And we're separated. Now we're done what? Now we're bound up in this time. And we're just going through it. day in and day out. Now you think, well, and this is what most people are. And Israel was like this because they had their priesthood. They had all these things. I mean, he says 3 times a year you're going to come up, right? 3 times a year you got Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, 3 times a year. Everybody's going to come up. If you don't come up, you're cast out of the congregation. So God, he did what? He appointed set times. He appointed set times in Israel. Well, Israel, that's an L. For gathering. Now, he appointed set times in Israel. And if you didn't come up, you was cast out. Right? But guys, keep in line, what was these appointed set times for? Never lose this fact. They all testified of him. So these years would just keep going on and on and on. Every year they would come up 3 times a year. Every month the priests would do their diligent. I mean, they would have their feast. They would set out this feast and then this day, this feast, the sheep, the wave offering and the offering of the sheep and the atonement and the limited booths and the Passovers and the sprinklings and the unleavened bread. And they just had all these feasts and they were doing all these things all the time, year after year after year after year. All in hopes of what? Israel's whole hope was this. They were looking for this guy to come. They knew that all these things said the Messiah is coming. Now they didn't know when. Daniel and them read in the book and they talks about the 70 years and they didn't know when and they're looking for him. But then somebody come up and said, you know what? My Lord, it's time. I've seen a star. They come, where is he that's born King of the Jews? Because they knew that all of this time right here did what? Pointed to him. And the Gentiles, they seen the star because the heavens declared the glory of God. We want to go out and see a sunset. And I'm talking about the glory of God they saw in a star. They were coming, they weren't there just looking for the star and taking pictures, putting it on Facebook. They said, I want to see the one the star's pointing to. They didn't gather them all up, Kathy, and say, oh, everybody come outside and look at the sky. They said, where is he that all this stuff's pointing to? See, that's where we want to get the church to come to and drive out all the other stuff we're looking at and say, where is he that all this stuff is pointing to? That all this time is pointing to. That all these things are pointing to, because why? We're in this bad spot here. We're in this spot of death, separated from the life of God. So we've seen years. We've seen months. We've seen days. What about this hour? Because, you know, they're all going to come right down to it. You know, it's just like when you have to make a payment or something. Okay, you know in that year you got a payment to make. I'm just going to bring it right down to taxes. You know in that year you got to pay a tax. And if you're like me, you put that whole year off and it comes all the way up till right before Christmas time. So in that year I'm just thinking, no need to worry. No need to worry. No need to worry. Then here comes November and I check the mail and I plumb forgot about it. And what happened? Holy moly. We're in the month. Then what gets worse than that is inside of the month it has a due date on this what? Day. And then on that particular day there comes the knee-jerking, handshaking time when I have to write the check out. Holy moly. Hope this passes. You know what I mean? It break. So what happened? The whole year comes down to a moment, right? The whole year is summed up in a moment. When I say James A. Moore, pay the check. The whole year is brought down to a moment. So what do you think all this is going to do? It's going to bring me down to a moment. I've got years, months, days, and I don't know you about you, but you get down into these, what do they call it? The final hours. The final hours is when all the stress is, guys. You don't give a hoot about it in the year. I guarantee you ain't thinking a bit about paying your taxes in January. You're thinking about recouping from the Christmas damage. You don't worry about that. Same thing, guys, goes on into the life of a believer. Like Denise was talking about, behold, do you see what John the Baptist, he was pointing to a moment. He was concluding the whole thing in this, behold, the Lamb of God. He brought, and you know what that moment does? Great judgment, guys. It's a great judgment. A great judgment takes place in that moment. You don't care about this year. It might get a little stressful in the month, but the day starts squeezing. And then when you get down to that hour, man, that hour is the Garden of Gethsemane, guys. Let's see what happens in this hour. Matthew 9. Matthew 9 and 22. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. See, everybody's looking for healing. But where is healing found? It's found in that hour. I just read it to you. Healing is found in that hour. It's not found in anything else. So we have got to get to that hour, don't we? I mean, everything that we're looking for is found in that hour. Why would the Scripture say in that hour if it wasn't important? But here in this Bible, it's written. I mean, every word is given by inspiration of God, and the Holy Spirit said, Denise, when you write this, make sure you write in that hour. Now, did he say 11:45? Because that's how we would have said it, wouldn't we? We would have said, you guys meet out tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Right? I mean, that's how we do our time. I start work in the morning at 7:30 in that hour. That ain't how the Holy Spirit writes. So the Holy Spirit is going to bring this down to that hour. Matthew 26 and 45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So what's Jesus telling them? Now this hour that we're looking for, the hour that all of this had pointed to is what? The hour that we're looking for, Jesus says, is at hand. That's my little at sign. Now, guys, if Jesus said this hour that you're looking for is at hand, is it? Was he lying? How about Luke 15 and 25? And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. The third hour. Now, the third hour would have been 9 o'clock in the morning because they counted their hours from 6 a.m. So at 9 a.m. in the morning, they crucified Jesus. He stays on the cross for 3 hours until noon. At noon is the brightest day or brightest time of the sun. So at noon would have been the sixth hour. But from the sixth to the ninth hour, which would have been till 3 o'clock, darkness was upon the face of the earth. So at the time when the sun should be the highest in the sky, darkness was upon the face of the earth. And Mark mentions it the third hour. And then he mentions it again in verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And then the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So Mark has to mention what 3 hours. How many times do we talk about three cities, 3 hours, three altars, three everything, death, burial, resurrection, all still is going to be summed up right here where? We're talking the cross. We're talking this hour is at hand. Look at Luke 10 and 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them in the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. What did he hide? People are talking about things. Okay, things. You know what was hid was Christ. All the things pointed to him because the people said, my God, we have our priesthood. This is it. We have our tabernacle. This is it. Why do you think they thought it's such a grievous thing when Nebuchadnezzar come up in there, went up in there and took the gold out of the tabernacle? They said, my God, here's a Gentile heathen king coming into this place that's holy, taking out the golden vessels and everything, taking them back and bragging about them. And you know, one of the kings, his sons or whatever, Darius, they was drinking wine out of the cups that was used in the temple. That's when the handwriting on the wall came about. They thought it was in those things. And Paul said it was a mystery. Paul says at that time it was a mystery because hidden in all of this was the testimony of his son. Still yet today, guys, people are looking down here in the trees and in the bread and in the rocks and in the heavens and in the sunsets and in the meteors in the skies and the weather systems and the tsunamis and the earthquakes, and they're looking at all of that. And what is all of that? God hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. So God was using all of this to do what? Testify of him. It served no other purpose other than to testify of him. Luke 22 and 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and his 12 apostles. What was he talking about? The hour had come. The hour had come. He was eating his Passover. Because see, it was still there. It was an appointed set time in Israel for all of them to be gathered. That's why, guys, there was no room for Jesus in the inn. Why? Because Jesus wasn't born at Christmas time. Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacles. And the reason there was no room for the inn is because all these Israelites were obeying the law, and they had all came up to Jerusalem for the feast. So every motel and hotel and nook and cranny was filled up with people. They were where they were supposed to be. This wasn't no surprise. They were doing what they were supposed to do. They were all, and you know, I just always throw this out there to people. I say, well, Jesus preached 3.5 years. That's in the scriptures. He preached 3.5 years, times, times, and half a time. And all. He preached 3.5 years. So if he was crucified in April, count backwards 6 months. And you can see when he was born. And if you count back 6 months, you'll find that puts you in October. And October is what? Feast of Tabernacles. So that's just a little side note, guys. But that's why there was no room. But those were appointed set times. Can you imagine that all of those people were gathered out for that one purpose? They were all gathered out in Israel to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, do you think that it had become routine for them? I'm sure every year they probably said, "Dad, Derek, daggone, man, I got 4 kids this year. My crops wasn't too good. I've got to make a 150-mile journey on a donkey. I got to get up here, get a motel room. If I don't, I mean, the Lord will cast me out of the covenant, so I've got to go. I got to leave my crops in the field. I know the Lord promised me, but you know, all these nannies robbing, stealing. You know, I got to leave all of this and go up to Jerusalem to watch this high priest kill this thing. We all got to, you know, 17 million people gathered out here. We all got to stand around. You know, it's going to be standing room only. Watch this priest kill this lamb, go back into there, and hopefully to God he comes out so we can have our atonement. And then we go back home and do what? Come again next year. I'm sure it got monotonous, just like it is for everybody else. Over and over and over. Thousands of years they did this. But this particular time, there was one guy right there named Simeon. He had done got word, hadn't he? He said, "I'll not die till I see thy salvation." Then he held the salvation in his hand and says, "Mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. He shall be set to the what? To the rise and the falling of many. And to what?" And he said, "Mary, your heart shall be grieved." Wow, there's a great judgment coming. Why? Because this man is going to put all of this away. All of it. Where? In his hour. Now I've got so many verses here with these hours that just goes on and on and on. Look, I'm going to just go to John. You know, here is John, and they're out of wine at the marriage supper. What does Jesus say? "Woman, mine hour is not yet come." It's not my hour yet. Yeah, he went ahead and did it, but what hour was he looking for? Israel, this is when your whole time is going to start right here. "Mine hour is not yet come, woman." Look at, and I didn't even know this verse was in here. Jacob's well, the woman from Samaria. She goes out to draw water from the well. You know, Jesus is there. Listen to this verse in John 4:6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was given of God. It was Jacob's well was given as a testimony. Jacob's well sat there. They were right to go drink from Jacob's well. But just like all these times, could you imagine they came up to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and the real salvation is laying over there in a little old manger? They had no idea. Same thing with this woman. She's just going out at noontime to get her some water. Well, testified was right there. The real Jacob's well was setting on the type and shadow of Jacob's well. And look what he says. That Jacob's well was there. "Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well," and it was the 6th hour. That was noontime. That was high noon. You watered your flocks in the morning. She come out there at noontime. That's another story. 4:21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. When ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. So he says there's an hour coming. And guess what it is? It's his hour. There's an hour coming. Let me just keep on. 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. The hour is coming. Now Jesus said, that hour is coming, and what? Now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. There is so many of these verses. 7:30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not come. And let me just go right to it. John 12:23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So all of this brought us down to this time right there, to this hour. Now, I got to hurry up. Exodus 33. In verse 5. I wish I had time to go in depth of these things. Exodus 33 and verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, your stiff-necked people, I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. When's he coming? When's he going to destroy them? I mean, that's what he said. When is he going to consume them? In a moment. Can you see where all this is bringing us to? Inside of this hour, in a moment. So there's going to be some consuming that goes on in this moment. Now, number 16. This has to do with the sons of Korah, or with Korah. Number 16 and 21. Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. What's he going to do? When? In the moment, he's going to consume them. Job 34 and 20. In a moment they shall die, the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. When does all this take place? A moment. In a moment. Psalms 30 and 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. How long does his anger endure? For a moment. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, 7 and 8. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. My God, what did Jesus cry out on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken? Right here he says, for a small moment I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. My God, who's going to do some gathering? He's going to do some gathering. And this is all going to take place in this moment that everything is pointing to. It's looking to me like it's going to end up being in the cross. That's where it's all pointing to me. It looks like it's all going to be summed up in this cross. Jeremiah 4:20. Jeremiah 4:20. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. So he's going to do what? When in this moment, he is going to destroy everything of this whole thing right here. Ezekiel 26. And 16. Then all the princesses of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes, put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground. They shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. So we're looking at a moment when they're all going to be astonished, right? Astonished. I wonder when that is. Isaiah 52 says this: Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When does all this? In his moment. In his moment. His moment to the natural mind looks so ugly. Here is a naked man beat to a pulp with a crown of thorns, nailed to a cross. But it is the most glorious, triumphant moment ever to take place. All history pointed to that moment. And in that moment, all of those stood by and they said, this cannot be it. There is no way this can be it. Look at that man beat to a pulp, crown of thorns, hung naked, and he is dead on the cross. He's dead. How could that be the glory of God? All history pointed to that moment. God testified in every prophet, every enemy will be destroyed in that moment. Every inhabitant of the land will be destroyed. And every merchant that makes their dealings on the sea will be destroyed in that moment. Babylon cried out in a moment. Her cities are laid waste. There is no more. The merchants say, we can't buy and sell anymore in this. We got nothing to buy and sell. Everything, the sun is darkened, the moon is turned to blood. Everything is gone in this moment. And they sat there and looked at that cross and they said, how could this be? It was so ugly that even the disciples turned back. And he said, in this moment, when I'm lifted up, all you guys will be scattered. You will. In this view of the cross, you'll be scattered. You won't even be able to take it. But it was hidden. And see what happens, Derek. God caused darkness to come upon the face. That's why the natural mind can't see it. The natural mind is looking at a bleeding Nazarene on the cross who's sucking for his last breath. The carnal mind says, this can't be, but I'm telling you what, God covered it in darkness. He covered the whole thing in darkness because he says, you know what? This will only be given to you by revelation. And in this revelation will be to you the beginning of days. It'll be to you a beginning of time. It'll be to you the beginning. God saw the end from the beginning, declared it so. God saw the end from the beginning and declared it so. What did he saw? He saw the end as what? Christ. He saw the beginning as what? Christ. Paul goes on to say, to see what God has wrought in Christ when he does what? Raised him from the dead. Now, you think this is something. I brought you all the way down to these moments. Here's what Paul says. I'm just going to show you this here. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, plural. In other words, all of these things here had administrations. They were there and they were set in order by God. That's what a dispensation is. It's an administration. They had their administration. They had their orders under all those. But Paul says in the administration of the fullness of times, plural. God, in the dispensation of those times, did what? At sundry times and in diverse manners, he spake and time passed. In other words, what? Time passed. This time is over. He spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, bringing us right up to this, when, see, this has got to be worked in your heart. God now speaks in Son. In other words, Habakkuk, you know, we read that scripture. Habakkuk would say this. I know these things may seem boring to you. Habakkuk says in chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch. Set me upon the tower. Think about this, guys. Somebody's looking for something, aren't they? I will watch to see what he will say. I'm going to watch and see what God, I'm going to see what God's answer is. I have looked at the heavens. I have looked at the trees. I've looked at the rocks. I've looked at the rivers. I've looked at the tabernacles. I've looked at the high priest. I've seen all Israel. I've seen all of these things taking place. But I'm going to go sit right here and I'm going to see what God will say. To see what he shall answer. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain. The Lord answered in what? A vision. I wonder what the vision is. The same vision that Ezekiel went up in. The same vision all these others. Make it plain, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Did not Jesus come right along and say, my God, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm not a lie. All these things were a lie. Why? Because all they did was point. They had no truth, no substance in them. But at that time, he showed up. The truth. The one, Habakkuk says, I'm going to see what he'll answer. And Paul writes in Hebrews, says, God answered. Here is God's answer to everything. Here is God's answer to what is man. Here is God's answer to the whole thing. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. And then this verse right here in Zechariah. Chapter 2, I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And he said, where do you go? And he said, to measure Jerusalem, to see the breadth. What is the length thereof? And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out with him to meet him and said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited. My God, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for multitude of men and cattle. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. This is the Lord. I will be a wall. And what are those walls? I mean, we've been talking about that on Wednesday night. The walls are what? The wall. He called the wall salvation. That's why Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, Derek. I'm closed in. I'm surrounded anointed by the Lord. In Him I live and move and have a being. I've been brought into the land. The inhabitants are run out of the land, and He's a wall of fire around Him. Remember what He did with the Egyptians? He set a wall of fire that they could not pass through. Then He had to show them that these Egyptians would trouble them no more. They washed up on the sea dead. All this is done when? In that moment. And look at this verse right here. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, His portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. And then here's the verse. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord. For He is raised up out of His holy habitation. Didn't Paul go on to tell us to say that we would build up a habitation unto God? But he says, be silent. In other words, guys, I heard a guy tell me this the other day. And I just pondered on this. He said, you know what? The heavens used to declare the glory of God. The heavens are done speaking. The heavens are done speaking. Those trees used to declare the glory of God. They're done speaking. Those rocks used to declare the glory of God. Jacob's well used to declare the glory of God. The Feast of Passover used to declare the glory of God. The Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, the priesthood, all these, everything used to declare the glory of God, but they're silent anymore. Why? Because God has now spoken in His Son, and He speaks nowhere else. You want to know what the answer is to the whole thing? It's His Son. And Paul says, here's the deal. That Son lives in you. I wonder, guys, when people put on Facebook and they see this sunset and they say, look at our Creator. Do they even stop to think what that sunset pointed to? What the sunrise pointed to, what the moon pointed to, what the heaven pointed to, what any of it? Is anybody going to come and say, I want to see the one of whom all of this pointed to? But people are still caught up in signs and miracles and wonders, and God ain't speaking in any of those things anymore, because God has spoken in Son, and they all testify of Me. And we must come to that judgment, because it all begins right here. This shall be a beginning of months to you and a new year. When? In the death of the Lamb. When that begins to start working down in your soul, down in your heart, when that begins to work, He's brought you out of one day, one moment, one thing of time, into another. All by the work of the cross. Now, I said I was going to flip over and use the back of the board, but I ain't got time. I don't have time. Seems like all of our excitement from last night wore everybody out. You just don't have enough time, guys. You just don't have enough time. I wish that we did, because I feel like, okay, I'm going to go on this and you know, I'll get this picture, Drew, and then I get half the people here, and then next week I'll go on another picture. And, you know, the people will be here and they're like, well, what is he talking about? Because he missed all of this. And I have no idea. That's the reason I wish that we could say, okay, everybody, church service is going to be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Bring your biscuits, your tater chips, sit right down. And we're going to draw some pictures and we're going to talk about it. That's the way they used to do it, guys. Really. Paul preached so long, they felt we'll raise them up. But, guys, there's just so much there. And so many people are looking for so many things that are all looking for the wrong thing. We just got to look for Him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When Jesus died, you know what He did? He made us dead to death. He made us dead
to death. He died to that. Paul said, he said, how are you that are dead to sin? What is sin? Sin is everything that comes short of the glory of God. Now, guys, that comes short of the glory of God is everything that is not the glory. It's everything that testified to the glory of God. I mean, if I wrote you a book and said, Derek, over there's the glory of God, would the book be the glory of God? No, the book would be short of the glory of God, but it would be pointing you to the glory of God. The glory of God is the Lord Himself. No need to look anywhere else. It's all found in Him. I'm going to tell you what, guys. I know this of a truth. The Lord I'm talking to you about, the Lord I'm telling you about, still speaks. He spoke to me Wednesday. And I talked to you guys up here Wednesday about it. He's not a dumb God. As far as one that don't speak, the God I'm telling you about, this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, still speaks. He does, guys. I don't know if you've ever heard His voice, but He will talk to you and He will minister to you. That's what He does. This ain't something afar off, and I'm not telling you how He gave me something to go running up down, thus saith the Lord, but He just ever so subtly corrected me. I knew right in the middle of my sentence where I was going, and I was beginning to say, and the problem with the church is this, and the problem with the church is this, and the Lord says, you don't need to be telling what's the problem with the church. What you need to be doing is, I could see all these prophets telling what's the matter with the church, and finally one comes up to Ezekiel and says, you know what, I'm not going to show you the problems of the church anymore. I'm going to show you the man with the measuring line in his hand. I'm going to show you the fullness. I'm going to show you you're complete in Him. I'm going to show you you're already raised up, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to show you Christ lives in you. I'm going to show you what God has wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. I'm going to show you a better covenant. I'm going to show you a better priesthood. I'm going to show you a priesthood after an endless life. I'm going to show you Him, but we see Jesus.